Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
You're listening to House of Cards.
Today, the game is different.
I want to gamble.
Gambling is a very serious business.
Is that clear?
Welcome to House of Cards. Dave Weishuttle with you here, deep from the swamps of Jersey. We got a great show coming up for you. We're going to hear all about the gambling scene in the great state of Mississippi. It's got amazing casinos, and it's celebrating its one-year anniversary of legalized sports betting. So we're going to talk to someone who knows the market inside and out. I'll be talking with Alan Godfrey, the executive director of the Mississippi Gaming Commission.
And then this is Ashley Adams. We are extremely fortunate to have the man who really has made poker what it is today. His name is Chris Moneymaker. He's just been inducted into the Hall of Fame, and we are fortunate enough to snag him for an interview.
So stick around. We'll be right back with House of Cards. Hey, this is Dave Weishuttle from House of Cards with your House of Cards Gaming Report for the week of August 26, 2019. New Jersey's online casinos have set a record. According to the New Jersey Division of Gaming Enforcement, the Garden State's online casinos earned $39.3 million in July, which is a new all-time record. The big winner for the month was the Golden Nugget, which has been in first place 32 months in a row. For the first time ever, the Pennsylvania Gaming Control Board released revenue figures for its online casinos. The Keystone State's online casinos went live on July 15th and brought in over $812,000 for the month. Pennsylvania has three online casinos, Hollywood Casino, Parks Casino, and the Sugar House Casino. And finally, ever wonder what Las Vegas casinos do with all that leftover food that their guests don't eat? Well, a lot of it is given to pigs. According to Vice News, the leftovers are boiled into a mixture and then sent to a farm to be eaten by pigs. Oyster shells are also recycled and sent to Maryland to help the oyster beds in Chesapeake Bay. Apparently, nothing goes to waste in Vegas. Have any news or tips regarding casinos, gaming, or legislation? Send us an email at newsroom@houseofcardsradio.com and follow us on Twitter at HOC Radio.
Listening to the House of Cards.
Whoa!
I think we got a show.
Oh, yeah, we got a show.
We definitely got a show.
Oh, yeah, there's a show. Hey, it's all about ratings, baby, and we got them.
Welcome back to House of Cards. Dave Weishuttle with you. You know, I think one of the biggest news stories this year has been the expansion of gaming across this country. Whether it's casinos or sportsbooks, gambling markets are thriving. One of the more interesting markets is Mississippi, which is celebrating its one-year anniversary of legalized sports betting in the state. And here to tell us all about the gambling scene in the great state of Mississippi is Alan Godfrey, Executive Director of the Mississippi Gaming Commission. Alan, thanks for joining us.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
You know, it's a fascinating state, but for those who aren't familiar with the gambling scene in Mississippi, can you give us a lay of the land with regard to casinos? I mean, how many casinos are in the state of Mississippi?
Well, we currently have 26 casinos located in three regions. One is extreme north Mississippi in our Tunica market, and then we've got a very local market in our Vicksburg, Natchez, Greenville on the river, and then the third market, which is our largest market and most popular market, is the Gulf Coast region.
You anticipated my next question, because I'm sitting here in New Jersey, and all of our casinos are located in one section of the state, and that being in Atlantic City. So your casinos are really spread out throughout Mississippi.
Well, when the law was passed back in the 90s, early 90s, it only allows casinos to be on the Mississippi River, on a county bordering the Mississippi, or the three southernmost counties. Now, we've only had, out of 82 counties, or possible 14 that could actually have it, we only have seven that have voted in casinos. So it's really all over, but they're really located in extreme north Mississippi on the river, central Mississippi on the river, and then two counties out of three on the Gulf Coast.
I was looking at the revenue figures, and it appears that the revenue figures for your casinos are very strong and have been rising each month. What do you contribute that to? Is it an increase of tourism, or is it the fact that casinos and gambling expansion have been in the news lately? What is allowing Mississippi to have such a strong revenue numbers for their casinos?
Well, Dave, I'm going to tell you, I've been around this industry since its inception, and seen the rise and the fall of gaming in Mississippi, and particularly most of our Tunica market has suffered the greatest. And you know, I can only attribute the increase in gross gaming revenue in this state to sports betting, because it is, year to date, we're 4% over this time last year. And the only difference, while the economy is good, the only difference really is sports betting, the addition of sports betting. And I think the property owners are telling us that, you know, they're seeing faces that they haven't seen ever. This is a new market. And the additional foot traffic is creating not only additional gross gaming revenue from sports betting, which is not that much, but while they're there, they're spending other money at other games.
As I said in the introduction, that you're celebrating your one-year anniversary of legalized sports betting. At the moment, where can people go to place bets in the state of Mississippi?
We've got 23 of the 26 casinos have sports books. So, unfortunately, we don't have mobile wagering over the state like your great state does. And I know they are benefiting tremendously from their ability to do online betting. But right now you have to go to one of our properties and place your wager.
What have the revenue figures been like with regard to sports betting? Are they up to expectations? And how has the revenue helped the state?
Well, Dave, you know, expectations, when you throw out an expectation based on only one state in the country ever had sports betting, legalized sports betting, that was Nevada. Mm-hmm. And Nevada is its own unique animal with the number of visitors that come there, because their population is not even as large as the state of Mississippi's, but their visitor count is so much larger, and it's just been around for so long. That's what I think everybody looked at after that, for that first year of projections. What's it going to do? You know, from a sports betting alone, I think someone made an estimate of the state would receive around $5 million in tax revenue. That's local and state tax. And we fell short of that. We were just a little under $4 million. But if you add the fact that the gross gaming revenue increased tremendously or by a couple of percentage points, then you have to say it was a positive for the state.
Before you had sports betting, one of the hopes and projections was with regard to offering sports betting is that it would increase overnight stays for people at properties. It would increase people playing at the slots and table games, and that restaurants on the property would see an increase of patrons. Has Mississippi seen that evidence that the hopes and predictions has really occurred?
Oh, the operators will tell you that it has exceeded their expectations, and I can tell you that's true, because after about 6 months, by December of last year of 2018, three or four properties already started their plans and of renovating their books, so that they have, and we're talking about a couple million dollars on these renovations. They wasn't adding another kiosk or something like that. They saw what was the enthusiasm and what the market wanted. And Louisiana doesn't have it, and Alabama doesn't have it. So our Gulf Coast region is really, really benefiting from those two states not allowing sports book. And we've had a couple of properties down on the coast just completely renovate their sports book, and it's such a much nicer product than it was before.
You know, I talk to a lot of casinos and a lot of casino marketers, and their one thing is they want to attract millennials to their property. In Mississippi, have you seen an increase in younger people going to casino properties because of sports betting?
Yes, I believe that is the you know, and I'm not certain what the definition of a millennial is, where the cutoff
me,
is.
Me either. I have no idea what a millennial is, but they keep talking about it.
Yeah, and I know they're not as old as I am.
No,
so
no.
I'll just say I've got kids in, that are in their younger 30s, and those are probably millennials. You know, down here in the South, we love our college football. We don't have a lot of professional football teams locally other than the Saints and the Falcons. But we do love our SEC football. And at the collegiate level, these people get out of college, and, you know, the 24 to 35-year-olds, they were seeing, the operators are telling me that's kind of the group they're seeing come in. That, you know, they're not coming. They wouldn't otherwise come to that casino because they're not slot players. They're not really table game players. But they do love their entertainment. They love to eat at nice restaurants and stay in nice places. And they love to watch football.
You know,
and evidently, they love to wager on football.
We're going to take a quick break right now. We'll be right back with more House of Cards on SB Nation Radio. House of Cards is brought to you by Drizly, your online liquor store. Available in over 95 cities across North America, Drizly offers a huge selection and competitive pricing with a side of personalized content. Now there's no need to leave the house. Get alcohol delivered in less than an hour by Drizly. Head on over to drizly.com and order today. And now get $5 off your first order of $20 or more when using promo code DRINK19 at checkout. Shop beer, wine, and liquor with drizly.com. Everyone knows New Jersey has the best of everything. The best casinos, the best table games, the best slots, and now it has the best sportsbook, PointsBet.com. PointsBet has one of the best sign-up offers in the state. Go to PointsBet.com and sign up using our promo code HOUSE, that's H-O-U-S-E, and you'll get a $50 bonus bet plus two risk-free bets up to $1,000. So sign up today at PointsBet.com using our promo code HOUSE and start having some real fun. That's promo code HOUSE, H-O-U-S-E. PointsBet, stay sharp. Must be 21 years or older and in New Jersey to place a bet. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We're going to take a quick break right now. House of Cards on SB Nation Radio. Stick with us. House of Cards is brought to you by Drizly, your online liquor store. Available in over 95 cities across North America, Drizly offers a huge selection and competitive pricing with a side of personalized content. Now there's no need to leave the house. Get alcohol delivered in less than an hour by Drizly. Head on over to drizly.com and order today. And now get $5 off your first order of $20 or more when using promo code DRINK19 at checkout. Shop beer, wine, and liquor with drizly.com.
You're listening to House of Cards. Check out our website at houseofcardsradio.com.
Welcome back to House of Cards. Dave Weishottle with you. For those of you just joining us, I'm talking with Alan Godfrey, the executive director of the Mississippi Gaming Commission. You know, I'm glad you brought up college football because I wanted to ask, what are some of the parameters that people have to abide by when placing a bet in Mississippi? For example, I'm in New Jersey, but I can't place a bet on a college located in New Jersey. I can't bet on a Rutgers game or a Princeton game.
Right.
Does Mississippi have the same rule against that?
No, sir. No, sir. You can wager on your local team, your state team.
Wow, that's great. I mean, that's fantastic. You know,
but you
mentioned it before. One of the big topics that, you know, sports betting is dealing with right now is online betting. And you said right now Mississippi doesn't have online sports books. Do you see that trend continuing, or do you see a time when Mississippi will have legal online sports betting?
I believe over time the operators will go to the legislature and really push that issue to change and expand their options from, you know, you can have mobile wagering in Mississippi, but it has to be on the property. Mm-hmm. And right now, you know, we've got a couple of people looking at it. And if you don't do in-game betting, then, you know, mobile wagering on property really isn't that attractive. So you've got to be able to, from an operator standpoint, is it going to bring in more from revenue to outweigh what I spend on it? And right now, I think the thought process is we don't have a lot of people trying to get mobile wagering mean, just because their return on investment is probably not going to be that much. Because if you're on property, then you're already here. Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, they like to have them here. But I do think that in the near future, you will see our operators go to their respective legislators and say, look, you know, we need to expand this option because look at what other states are producing. And now, you know, New Jersey revenue is out the roof.
Yeah,
but your
yeah.
population around you in and around New Jersey is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't think Mississippi, even if we did have online wagering, we're not going to our numbers won't be anywhere near what a place like New Jersey, which is so heavily populated, are going to be. But I do believe that there is some revenue that the state of Mississippi and the operators are missing out on because we don't have that option here.
Yeah, I know the big news story a couple weeks ago is Penn National Gaming did a massive deal with several online sportsbook providers. Would deals like this likely spur on state legislatures to implement online sports betting, or do you think Mississippi now needs to examine it a little more before they implement online sports betting?
Well, Dave, you've dealt with state legislatures before?
Yes, I have. That's why I'm looking for the answer.
I hope that, and we've got a lot of support in our committee over at the state capitol, and they're very pro gaming. You know, I think that over time, and I hope, you know, in the near future. And again, I do believe that the local, our operators here, our 23 licensees, will get together and they will lobby our legislator and those that are pro gaming here that, you know, look, they'll let them know, look, this option is out there and it's been proven in places like New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania that it works and that it produces additional revenue. And what legislator doesn't need additional revenue? So I can foresee that coming down the pipeline. Mm-hmm. How quickly, I couldn't tell you. I personally would like to see it done just because I know that Louisiana is ultimately going to get sports betting.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of other states,
Tennessee has it right now.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask about that. I know Arkansas and Tennessee both approved sports betting legislation, and Tennessee has introduced legislation for mobile-only sports betting. What do you think the effect will be on Mississippi sports betting market, and does Mississippi have plans to deal with this new competition in the coming years?
Well, fortunately and unfortunately, fortunately, it's not going to hurt our Gulfport region, our Gulf Coast region, which is just growing like crazy. The effect on our Tunica region is going to be felt the most, and because Tennessee and Arkansas are right there, and it's going to hurt. There's no doubt that Tunica has lost some of their revenue due to the expansion of sports betting and gaming in Arkansas, and these additional you know, sports wagering or mobile sports wagering, we're gonna feel it. I can tell you, Tunica will feel that punch.
Well, Mississippi has 1 year of sports betting under its belt, and it seems to be a success. Where do you see sports betting industry in Mississippi in the second year going? Do you see more sports books opening? Do you see online becoming legal? Where is Mississippi going with regard to sports betting?
Well, in the next year, online wagering, it won't happen. Not statewide online, because our legislature doesn't meet till January. It'll get out in March. Probably, if anything passed, it'd be effective. Unlikely it'd be effective immediately, probably by July 1 of next year. So I don't see online statewide mobile wagering in the state in the next year. You may see some mobile wagering on premise in the next year, but that's probably just a couple of people. What I do see is after 1 year, that sports betting will be bigger next year than it was this year. And I think the patrons they're more educated, the properties have gotten a year under their belt. They know how to market to these people. They know what worked last year. They know what didn't work last year. And they will, I think it will grow.
Alan, we're running out of time, but can you give out a website where people can go to find out about what's going on with regard to gambling and sports betting in Mississippi?
Yeah, sure. www.mgc.state.ms.us.
Alan Godfrey, Executive Director of the Mississippi Gaming Commission, thank you for coming on and telling us all about the great state of Mississippi. I think it's doing amazing things with regard to casinos and sports books. So thanks a lot for giving us some great information.
You're very welcome, and thank you for letting me be on your show.
Stick around. We'll be right back with more House of Cards. House of Cards is brought to you by Drizly, your online liquor store. Available in over 95 cities across North America, Drizly offers a huge selection and competitive pricing with a side of personalized content. Now there is no need to leave the house. Get alcohol delivered in less than an hour by Drizly. Head on over to drizly.com and order today. And now get $5 off your first order of $20 or more when using promo code DRINK19 at checkout. Shop beer, wine, and liquor with drizly.com.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, BABE16, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off, plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code BABE16. That's BABE16, because without it, no free stuff. That's BABE16 at adamandeve.com.
You're listening to the House of Cards.
It's not fun making the right play and getting the wrong result. But you know what? That's poker.
Welcome back, everybody. As promised, we are very fortunate to have maybe the most significant guy in the poker world today, maybe even ever. His name is now part of the English language, Chris Moneymaker. He has just been appropriately inducted into the Poker Hall of Fame, poker's highest honor, and we're fortunate to have him here. You've just been inducted into the Hall of Fame. What was that like for you?
I mean, it's obviously a nice surprise. I didn't expect to get in, and I wasn't exactly campaigning to get in. It wasn't something that I was actively looking to. I mean, it's great for my kids. It'll be great for my legacy, I guess. But at the end of the day, it doesn't mean a whole lot to me personally, just to be personal, to be perfectly honest.
Okay, you've been nominated before. I think it's been a long time coming. I think you were nominated, what, 3 or 4 years ago?
I think I was nominated maybe 3 or 4 times, maybe 3 times, so I'm only 43. Maybe it was twice. I skipped a year. Maybe I wasn't nominated last year. I'm not quite sure, I'll be honest. I don't really follow it.
Right.
I did not know I was even nominated this year other than being on Twitter. I don't remember. I know I was nominated once before. I don't know if it was 2 or 3 times or just one time before. I honestly don't know.
I got it. So it's not a life-changing thing for you. We'll be right back with more House of Cards on SB Nation Sports Radio.
Listening to the House of Cards.
It's not fun making the right play and getting the wrong result. But you know what? That's poker.
Welcome back, everybody. For our listeners who may not know, we are talking with Chris Moneymaker, maybe the most famous guy in the poker world today. Tell our listeners, you were on here about 10 years ago. We had you on about 6 years after you won the main event. What's the life of Chris Moneymaker like these days? What have you been doing? What's important to you?
Life's really busy. It's good. I mean, you know, 16 years later, I'm super busy. Still a team pro with PokerStars, been with them basically from day one. So I travel around and do a lot of things for them. We just had a big Moneymaker tour, which led into a PSPC, which is 25K, where they gave like 300 seats. I travel around and play in local card rooms promoting poker regionally. Just went down to Australia and did some work down there, you know, working with different casinos and card rooms in California, trying to get some get it legalized and get them help, and just trying to stay busy, I guess is the best way to put it, trying to grow the game as best I can, have fun while I'm doing it, and, you know, representing PokerStars pretty much all over the world.
So you are, would you say that your career now is primarily as a poker ambassador, or would you say it's really a poker player grinding it out and also on the side you're a poker ambassador? Where would you say the emphasis is?
No, I mean, I've been a poker ambassador slash, you know, representative of PokerStars since day one. My goal was never to be a grinded out poker pro grinding the circuits or playing, you know, grinding out every single day to make a living. And I've been fortunate in the fact that I haven't had to do that in 16 years. And I, you know, for the foreseeable future, I won't be doing that. I'm still doing a lot of stuff, going around making appearances and working with PokerStars. They've got me doing, a lot of stuff within poker and also some stuff outside of poker. We have, some new things going on with, we have a virtual reality poker thing now that we're doing where I get to play with, people in virtual reality, which is really cool. I'm really big into sports, so we have FoxBet, which just came out with that they just came out with, and now that we're hopefully getting poker back into the U.S., I'm going to be going up to Pennsylvania and New Jersey and playing up there. So I'm still doing the ambassador role more so than grinding it out.
That's great, because I look at other guys that had some large moments of celebrity, like the guy that came after you, Greg Raymer, and it's not nearly as easy to be a full-time professional poker player as a lot of people think. I think Greg is going back to doing lawyering, and other pros who aren't being sponsored, it can be pretty tough. I'm curious to know about the virtual reality. Could you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, so basically it's a brand new, you know, virtual reality, I guess, is the sort of the new thing. And if you go get, like, I got a, it's called a, Quest headset, I think is the new name of it. It's a Oculus Quest. And basically, there's two different versions. The Quest I can travel with, and there's one that's basically for my home computer. You put on a headset, and you've got two handlebar or two control sticks that are basically that you can lift your cards up, you can pick the chips up, and you play with people in a virtual at a virtual poker table, and it's like you're sitting there playing with them. And it's really cool because you get to interact with them, you talk with them, they respond, you can, you know, you throw things at them, do all kinds of different things. On the side, you're also playing poker, and then there's leaderboards and everything else. It's all for play money right now, but it's an awesome, fun experience, and it's something that's really new. And, you know, VR is just it's a brand new market that, you know, obviously it's just new technology. It's just now starting to take off.
So if I wanted to participate in this Oculus Quest, I think you said it was called Oculus Quest, what do I have to do? How do I sign up? Do I have to buy equipment? Can I just do it with a relatively inexpensive headset? What do I have to do?
Yeah, so the Oculus Quest is the name of the headset they use. And if you want to travel and that's what you would get. There's other things. If you go to the Oculus website, there's several different models that you can get to actually, and it's called, the actual application is called PokerStars VR. So when you get your Oculus, you would just go on, and it's sort of like the App Store on Apple. There's a ton of different games. You can get boxing games, poker games, all different kinds of stuff out there. And PokerStars VR is one of the apps that you get. You just download the game. And once you're in the game, it's really, it's a user-friendly game. They walk you through the steps. You go spin a wheel and get chips, and then you can get daily chips, and you're off and playing, and they have sit-and-goes, they have cash games, MTTs are on the way, and it's just a, you know, brand-new adventure that PokerStars has gotten into, and they're the leading company getting into it, and they've done a really good job, you know, making it fun and making it to where you can interact with people and just have a good time.
And it's perfectly legal and accessible, not just in the states that have legalized intranet poker, but all across the United States. I know you said it's for no money, so I can do it in Massachusetts or Florida or anywhere?
Perfectly legal anywhere you want to play it. It's for no money, so yeah, you can do it wherever you want. All you have to do is have the headset and you're good to go. Just download the PokerStars VR app and you'll get to play with me and some other pros. I mean, I'm on there quite a bit playing. So if, you know, you want to come and learn how to play, I do a lot of stuff on there from teaching to helping people to just sitting and playing. And there's a lot of different stakes to buy in at. So you can buy chips and play bigger if you want. There's a lot of different ways to get in and be involved in on the platform.
Cool. Well, I'm going to recommend that people do that. That sounds like a lot of fun. You mentioned that you're coming to Pennsylvania. Do you actually have your schedule? Would you like to tell our listeners where they – I mean, you have, I'm sure, you know, lots of fans. I mean, lots of people that think the world of you. Could you tell us when you're coming to Pennsylvania, where you're going to be, or don't you know yet?
To be determined. I've been told that I will be in Pennsylvania – I look to be there sometime in September. I know that I'm going to be in London on September 27th, and then I'm going to the EPT Barcelona at the end of this month, and the EPT Open in Sochi October 4th. And between, basically, I get back from Barcelona on September 1st, and I leave out for London on September 27th, and I imagine I'm going to be in Pennsylvania at some point in that time frame. I just haven't figured out the exact dates yet. It should be going live about that time, and I'm sure they're going to be announcing a tournament series. I'll probably be going up for that. Jason Somerville and myself will both be up in Pennsylvania. We'll both be doing a lot of streaming. Obviously, he'll be doing more of the streaming than I will be doing, but we're going to be doing streaming for that and then doing stuff for FoxBet as well while we're up there.
Okay. If people want to follow your exploits, do you have a website or does PokerStars list where your appearances are going to be?
Basically, my stuff is all on my Twitter feed. I do a pretty good job of updating my schedule as far as where my next stops are going to be. I had a schedule out there on my Chris Moneymaker site, but I haven't used it in a while. I need to actually get out there and promote it again and actually fill it out. But I've been so busy just doing social media stuff, and I found that, you know, I'm always engaging with people on social media. So if they have questions, they want to know where I'm going, I'm usually always going to be, you know, answering them there. And that's just a place where I can answer my fans, interact with my fans really easily. I love social media for that because I can answer questions quickly and easily. So I usually update my schedule. Usually, you know, as soon as I get it, I'll let people know, you know, hey, I'm headed to this place, I'm headed there. So if you follow me at CMoneyMaker on Twitter, that's probably the best place to find out where I'm going to be and what I'm going to be doing.
Okay. Had a few more questions. You're probably one of the most traveled of all of the people that folks would know in the poker world, not because you're playing tournaments in so many places, but as an ambassador, I imagine you go places that, you know, very few people go to as many places. Have you ever cataloged how many countries you've gone to or how many states you've played poker in?
I haven't, but the number would be insane, yes, for sure. I mean, I've been basically anywhere you could think of to play poker. I think I've been there. The only place I haven't been that poker's really exploding right now is India, and that's probably on my map to go to sometime in the near future. But basically, I've been to everywhere in the world except for the Middle East and India. It's probably the two places I have not been to, and I've been to every single state in the U.S., but I haven't played poker in all of them. I played poker in quite a few of them, you know, including Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, Texas, you know, some of the more, I don't want to say obscure states, but ones you don't think of as often.
Wow. So have you ever played poker in Africa?
I have. I've been to Africa. I went to South Africa to play in a poker tournament there. Went on safari and went down out in Johannesburg.
Oh, man. How cool is that? Let me ask you. I imagine that there are pluses and minuses of playing poker on the road as you have. Can you tell our listeners, I mean, the pluses are fairly obvious, but what are some of the negatives?
I mean, honestly, really the only negative is being away from the family. And, you know, like this last trip, I just went to Australia. I was able to take the wife and kids with me. We spent 2.5 weeks in Australia. So they're getting older, and when they're not in school, they can travel. So it's actually a lot better during summertime when I travel. But when they're in school, they can't get away. So being away from the family is really the only negative drawback. It would be a negative drawback, obviously, if you're not into flying and hotels and being by yourself. Because a lot of the times when I'm on the road, I travel alone, and I'm in hotels and airports, which none of those really bother me. I'm more of a independent person when I'm not with my family, and hotels and airports don't bother me. So, there's the only negative for me personally would be just the time away from my family. And obviously, like you said, the positives sort of speak for themselves. I mean, I get to play a game for a living and support my family playing a game. So, it's pretty surreal.
I'm curious to know, and if you don't want to talk about that, it's okay, but I'm curious to know, last time you were on the show, I asked you how you would respond if your very young kids at the time said, "Daddy, I want to be a poker player." And you said, "Well, I tell them it's hard work. I tell them that if they really want to, they've got to work at it, make sure to stay in school. But I would absolutely teach them if they wanted." Have they asked you, and have you taught them, and do they play?
They haven't shown enough interest yet. When we were on the flight to Australia, they were playing a little in-app game on the back of the seat. So they were playing a little bit, and they were trying to challenge their dad to a game. They don't know the rules yet. They haven't shown enough interest to learn the rules yet. They obviously are old enough to know what I do and understand the game. I think my son, who's 7 years old, is probably going to be the one that's going to be the most interested in playing. My older daughters don't seem like they really have the desire to really learn the game overly that much, which is good, I'll be honest. I mean, it's a great game, but, again, the advice would be the same. You need to stay in school. You're going to have to get a degree and, it's a competitive job market, and poker's changing so much. I mean, poker, from where I started to where it is today, is the landscape has changed so much. Who knows what it's going to be when they're old enough to play. But, yeah, for sure, if they want to know how to play poker, I'm definitely going to teach them. They just haven't come to me and asked, "Hey, Dad, can you show me how to play the game?" First of all, they think they're better than Dad already. My 7-year-old thinks that he can beat me in just about anything he does.
We'll be right back with more House of Cards on SB Nation Sports Radio.
Join the best and the brightest of the esports industry on September 4th and 5th at the Luxor Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas for this year's Casino Esport Conference, brought to you by Clarion Gaming and Fox Marketing. CEC Vegas brings together online and land-based gaming operators with professionals from all avenues of the esport industry. This 2-day conference and exhibition will allow attendees to discover new revenue and traffic through esports events and wagering. CEC Vegas is the premier event to meet, share ideas, and explore a wealth of product and service solutions to find the best way forward in the lucrative market of esports. Panels include experts discussing wagering, social media gaming, the latest technology, and much, much more. Don't wait. Head on over to CasinoEsportsConf.com and register today to attend this exciting and unique look at the esports industry. The Casino Esport Conference, brought to you by Clarion Gaming and Fox Marketing, September 4th and 5th at the Luxor Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. It's one event you can't afford to miss.
Hey, this is Dave Weishottle from Turnpike Sports with this week's Bet Flash. FanDuel has announced a deal with Major League Baseball. Under this multi-year deal, FanDuel will become an authorized gaming operator of the MLB with access to official data and team logos. This deal marks the first time FanDuel has entered into a partnership with the MLB or any Major League Baseball team. Well, apparently there has been no slowdown in sports betting in New Jersey. The Division of Gaming Enforcement announced that the Garden State had over $250 million in handle for the month of July. That total has broken Nevada's record for that month. And finally, as we get ready for the NFL season, bettors in Las Vegas are putting money on some interesting teams. According to the Vegas books, more people have put money on the Chicago Bears to win the Super Bowl than any other team. The Cleveland Browns have the second most bets to win it all. From the seaside to the desert, from the betting lines to the sites online, Turnpike Sports has got you covered. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Turnpike Sports.
You're listening to House of Cards. Check out our website at houseofcardsradio.com.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Ashley Adams. You're listening to House of Cards. For our listeners who may not know, we are talking with Chris Moneymaker, maybe the most famous guy in the poker world today. So you're not moving anytime soon, though, right?
If I move again, I'm getting divorced. We've moved so many times. I think we're settled where we are. We moved a few times to find the right school for our kids, and I think we're in the right spot now, we hope. We have no plans to move in for the foreseeable future.
Well, I'm glad that life is stable, and I really am glad that you shared some of it with us on this show. Chris, you're a wonderful guest. I wish you success. And Chris, thank you again for joining us. You really are a wonderful guest, and I wish you all successes.
Thanks very much for your time.
All right.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Listeners, that was the great Chris Moneymaker.